Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined today by our live blog directors, Jamie Jors and John Rahor. And we are talking about the Green Bay Packers offseason. It's a tough one. Right now, there's all this talk about the Super Bowl. It's Super Bowl week. Yesterday was media day. You couldn't escape it. Even if you weren't a football fan, you couldn't escape media day and all the coverage that's provided there. It just is everywhere. Every news program, every sports channel, you name it, it's in your face. And it's probably only going to get more so until Sunday when the Super Bowl kicks off. But we're trying to keep the Patriots talk and the New York Giants talk to a minimum here as we focus on the Green Bay Packers, as always. John Rahor says, this year's media day sucked on our live blog. Last year's was much better. I agree. I'm going to shed a tear. Last year was the first and only time I could participate in the Super Bowl as a member of the media, and I miss it. I wish I could have done it again. I was part of the throng last year, as you've seen video and photos of the media assembled at Media Day, the throng assembled in front of the players. Kind of interesting, though, that this year was the first year that they allowed fans, paid attendance into Media Day. I'm not exactly sure how much interest I'd have in it as a fan. You get to listen to the interviews. Apparently, they gave every person a headset radio. You know how technology is nowadays. They can do just about anything with different channels, so you could change the channel and listen to different player interviews. You could listen into Tom Brady and then change the channel and listen to Wes Welker or Deion Branch, Ocho Cinco, you name it. But anyway, so I hope everybody says we're going to have another chance next year. So on our live blog, I hope so, that the Packers will be in it once again. Everybody does, right? So as far as news regarding the Packers goes, the story from yesterday is that quarterback Aaron Rodgers decried the effort given in the Pro Bowl by his teammates. Kind of criticized them for the effort put forth. And we talked about this a lot on Monday, so I don't want to spend too much more attention on the Pro Bowl. But it is notable that the Green Bay Packers quarterback called it out yesterday in his weekly interview with ESPN Radio affiliates in Milwaukee and Madison, basically just saying his teammates didn't give enough effort. And kind of on a related story, Aaron Rodgers returned to Twitter, those of you who follow him or pay close attention to Aaron Rodgers' career, he does tweet, takes to Twitter in the off season, connects with his fans, but once the regular season starts, backs off that. So yesterday marked his return to Twitter, and he kind of expounded on those thoughts on the Pro Bowl on Twitter, and said he felt bad for those who actually paid to go to the game, and those who watched on TV and didn't get a really good showing. And it's coming from what is perhaps the NFL's MVP. You don't ignore those comments. And hopefully at some point the NFL, steps up and does change some things with the Pro Bowl, because it's been mentioned elsewhere. In fact, even this morning, I believe Bill Belichick was asked it in his press conference that's already taken place in Indianapolis. New England Patriots head coach Bill Belichick was asked about the Pro Bowl, I believe, and It's something that's being discussed, and, you know, hopefully at some point the NFL rectifies it. And, you know, again, we don't know what the answer is. I gave my thoughts on Monday about what they should do about eliminating the game totally, and expounding on an article in the Sporting News, and you know, have a skills competition, a concert, have the NFL's award show, all these things after the season, kind of in place of the Pro Bowl, but still honor the players who were, you know, selected to be honored as part of this. So so that, you know, Aaron Rodgers giving his thoughts on, playing in the Pro Bowl, very little effort. And you have to wonder what his teammates think about that. I mean, his teammates in the Pro Bowl team, of course, it's hard to blame the players. I think, I wouldn't, if I was making the type of money they are as well, I wouldn't want to be injured in that game. Tom Silverstein in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel wrote a good blog post on Monday morning. If you happen to go to jsonline.com, look through their archives a little bit. It's not that far back, but he gave some thoughts on the Pro Bowl and, had basically said, I believe there was an instance where, you know, at one point they kind of did do a flag football game, and a Pro Bowler years ago tore up his knee in just a flag football game. So, it can happen at any time, these injuries. So, you know, I'm not sure what to make of it exactly. I don't think I would want to put forth a lot of effort either. So that's why I think eliminating the game totally is probably the best idea. Even though I know it is a tradition that goes back many years, but, you know, times have changed. And you know, when there's that much investment and money involved, I personally, as a fan of the Packers, don't want to see any of them injured in the game. So, you know, you got to change. You got to adapt, I think. And sometimes that's hard to do. Everybody's afraid of change, but I think sometimes that's what you have to do. I forgot to mention it here. At 8:45 a.m., we're going to be talking to NFL draft prospect Lamarck Brown of Minnesota State. Here on Railbird Central, gonna have him live on the show. He was the MVP, the offensive MVP of the Casino del Sol All-Star Game. Kind of terrible name for an All-Star Game, isn't it? They have these other games with a lot more tradition to them, the Senior Bowl, the Shrine Game. Everybody knows those. This is kind of one of those lower-tier All-Star Games, but still, you know, an opportunity for players to work in front of scouts and future NFL prospects. So we're going to be talking to him, and a guy who doesn't live too far away, just across the border from Wisconsin here in Minnesota. So going to be talking to him about that game and what he thinks of his chances to be in the NFL. So 8:45, not too long away, we're going to be talking to him. But getting back to Packers news here, yesterday, as far as anything related to the Packers, it was all on Aaron Rodgers and to a lesser extent, maybe former Packers who are now playing for the Super Bowl. There's several of them out there in Indianapolis right now, playing for the New York Giants. Couple defensive backs who used to play with the Packers, Will Blackman and Derek Martin. You might remember them, as well as a former practice squad player, Dave Tollefson. And then on the Patriots, there is linebacker Tracy White, and I'm forgetting a name as well, another former Packer. Oh, Nick McDonald, offensive lineman, who earned a Super Bowl ring with the Packers last year. Even though he didn't play, he was on the 53-man roster last year as a rookie, and has since gone on this year to play with the Patriots and appeared in some games this year. So he's making progress in the NFL. So congrats to Nick McDonald. So there's your Packers connections for the day. If we go back a day, Packers news of, I would suppose, Monday would have been that General Manager Ted Thompson was named the NFL's Executive of the Year by the Sporting News, by Sporting News magazine. Of course, that, you know, a magazine like the Sporting News, a lot of tradition there. And, you know, that's not the official, you know, that the NFL, the official executive year that the NFL honors, but still an honor nonetheless, and one that Ted Thompson deserves. So congratulations to him. And we'll see if he gets that the NFL's honor in that regard as well. You know, Ted Thompson has put together a roster here that was good enough to win the Super Bowl last season, good enough to have a 15-1 record this year, and it should be good for years to come. I mean, this is a team that's set up for success for the next several years, just based upon the players and the talent that they have. And I do see one weird thing kind of developing here that at some point I might have to examine more in depth in an article here at Cheesehead TV. But, you know, before the 2011 season, you saw the Packers part ways with several veteran players, lots of them, that they had to cut before the season. You know, Mark Tauscher, Mr. Wisconsin, a guy who was with the Packers for more than a decade, had to cut him before the season, you know, partially due to his contract and partially due to diminished skills that just come with age. The Packers cut Nick Barnett, a former first-round draft choice. The Packers cut Justin Harrell, another first-round draft choice. The Packers cut Brady Papinga at midseason. They cut Al Harris. So you're seeing the Packers cut a large amount of players who have had an impact on the team, have played with the team quite a bit, and either due to age, due to contract, things like that, you know, had to part ways. And now this season, you might see the Packers, nothing's set in stone yet and guaranteed, but there's the possibility the Packers part ways with Chad Clifton and Donald Driver. So, I mean, you know, it's interesting that they might have to cut these guys, and this might be 2 years in a row where the Packers have to, you know, somehow get rid of salary, dump salary, things like that. And so, I is this going to become a tradition with the Packers? Is this going to happen every year where they front load contracts, pay guys up front, so later in their careers there's not a whole lot of guaranteed money for them, and they can just dump them and anyhow? So anyhow, it's quarter to nine. It's 8:44. We're gonna go to break here. I've got to get Lamarck Brown, wide receiver of Minnesota State, on the line. Gonna do an interview with him. And we will be right back shortly. Welcome back to Railbird Central here on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, and joining me right now on the phone is Minnesota State wide receiver Lamarck Brown, an NFL draft prospect. How are you doing today, Lamarck?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you for joining us. So let's get right to it. You were named offensive MVP of the Casino del Sol All-Star Game in Tempe, Arizona. Tell us about that game and what happened and what you did to win that award.
Well, basically, our offense was put in this package for over the three practices that we had. And basically tried to make the most of our matchup problems that we had on the other side of the ball. What happened was we were down by, I believe, three, and we were driving down in the last drive, the last 22 seconds. They lined me up on a linebacker at the tight end position. I ran a seam route. Quarterback threw it off his hip, caught it, and took the hit in the end zone, and we scored on a touchdown, 22 seconds left.
Sounds good. Well, congratulations on that. What was the experience like, you know, working in front of scouts during the practices that week and playing with other top college players who hope to play in the NFL?
It was a great experience for me. You know, you get a chance to measure yourself up against other guys that are being looked at by the scouts, and and see where you really fit into the scheme of the draft and what they're looking for as players for the next level.
Did you get the opportunity to talk to some NFL teams, some scouts, things like that?
You know, I talked to a couple of teams while I was there. I talked to Houston, I talked to Arizona, talked to the Jets, and there was a couple other teams that I talked to, and basically just trying to get a feel for what they wanted it to see from me as a player going on to this next level, and what they would need to see in my pro day and things like that to get my evaluations higher and see where I can land myself.
Of course, we're based in Wisconsin, and this is kind of a Green Bay Packers talk show. Were the Packers one of the teams you talked to out there?
I talked to them for a little bit about things, and so it's just getting a good feel for what they were looking for as far as players.
Very good. So now, before you transferred to Minnesota State, you played your first 3 years at Kansas State. Can you talk about your decision to transfer there?
Basically what happened was me and Coach Snyder didn't see eye to eye on a couple of things. And so since I was a player from a different coaching staff that got recruited there, I decided that the best thing for me was to transfer. Well, during that process, they didn't want to release me from my scholarship, which meant that I tried to find a different way to try to get my release. And some coaches that were at Kansas State when I was there my first 2 years, they knew another coach up there at Minnesota State. Those two talked, and they talked to me, and then I ended up transferring there.
Now, before you transferred, if I'm correct, you were actually a teammate of Packers wide receiver Jordy Nelson for 1 year. What do you remember about Jordy, and what do you think about the job he's doing now?
Well, they basically put me and Jordy together in the hotel rooms my freshman year, and I learned a lot from Jordy. You know, he's a guy that taught me how to play the slot position in college, and basically taught me how to go out and work hard every day and watch film and learn to become a better player by mastering the things I need to master to be a better receiver. And I think it's great what he's doing now. I mean, I always felt that Jordy was our best receiver at that point. And to be honest, that year I felt he was the best receiver in the draft. And it's good to see him having the success that he's having right now.
He's certainly doing well. Now, you pulled a little bit of double duty in college, playing running, both running back and wide receiver. You actually led Kansas State in rushing one of your seasons there. You know, are you focusing strictly on wide receiver now? I took a look at your stats before we came on air, and you actually had like 10 rushes in a game earlier this year at Minnesota State. Where are you at in that process?
I'm focusing on receiver. The moving me to a running back at Kansas State was sort of trying to get our running game fixed at that point in time. And going back to me playing running back in high school, they just decided to switch me there, which I agreed to. And then here at Minnesota State, I sort of kind of played a role where they just wanted to move me around to try to get the ball in my hands as much as possible. And running back just happened to be one of the spots.
I gotcha. Is there an NFL player you kind of look up to or pattern yourself after?
I definitely look up to Andre Johnson and sort of kind of fit that type of mold of player. I like the way his hard work ethic that he has and the way he goes and competes every day. And that's sort of kind of guy I model myself after.
What's the best part of your game, the thing you do best on the football field? Is it route running? Is it actually catching the ball? Is it, you know, your knowledge of the grasp of the offense or the defense you're playing? What is it?
I think my strength mostly with me comes from after the catch. I'm very hard to bring down after I make a catch. And once I get in the open field, I try to break out and make a nightmare for the defense.
You know, the next stop on your quest to join the NFL would be a pro day, I imagine, Minnesota State's pro day. When is that happen, and what are you looking forward to there?
Minnesota State ourselves, we're not having a pro day, so I'll be heading up to the University of Minnesota's pro day on March 5th. And basically, I'm just looking to get some numbers out there so that I can turn some heads and get some scouts to take another look at me and try to get some more workouts scheduled after that.
Well, very good. Lamarck, thank you so much for joining us here on Railbird Central. We appreciate you talking with us. We wish you the best on trying to get to the NFL. We know it's a long and hard process, and we appreciate knowing that you actually interviewed with the Green Bay Packers. So maybe someday, hopefully, we could talk to you again.
All right, thank you.
Thanks a lot. Lamarck Brown, wide receiver, Minnesota State University, joining us here on Railbird Central. Appreciate it. And a shout-out to who helped help me find Lamarck, Mark here, who joins us once in a while on Railbird Central on Twitter. Always a Packer fan, his Twitter handle is. He's a student at Minnesota State, and help me find Lamarck's Twitter handle to get in contact with him. So thanks a lot, Mark. And anyhow, so good, best of luck to him. And as with the NFL draft process gets underway here, and we kind of looking toward that here at Cheesehead TV, and you know, after the Super Bowl's done, that process gets ramped up a little bit more. Late February is the NFL Combine, and then after the Combine, those pro days start coming fast, and you know they come fast and they ramp up, and before you know it, it's the NFL draft time in April. So this is the time of year where the Packers are looking to improve their team. Whether it's through the draft, through free agency, things like that. And, you know, as everybody knows, the Packers don't dip much into free agency a whole lot. But, you know, you never know. Once in a while, they could get more of a minor player in free agency. And anyhow, you know, the Packers looking to improve their ways, to improve their team, all sorts of, with different players through the draft. And, we talked to Lamarck, and the Packers don't have a big need for wide receiver. Of course, they have one of the best groups of wide receivers in the entire NFL. Nobody can really deny that, you know, from Greg Jennings and Jordy Nelson to Donald Driver. His future's kind of up in the air, but still, they've got James Jones, they've got Randall Cobb, and now on the practice squad, they've got Torrey Gurley and DeAndre Burrell. But you know what? If there's one position in the NFL, or, you know, especially on the Packers, I don't pay as close attention to other teams, but I know with the Packers as well, and I assume this is the case with other teams, you know, they probably bring more players at wide receiver for the offseason, for training camp, more players that, you know, they actually probably eventually cut. But, you know, the Packers have always bring in a lot of players. They will inevitably, even though they're pretty stocked at wide receiver, they will inevitably sign this year 2, 3, 4 guys, if not in the draft, draft them. They'll sign them as undrafted free agents just because they need guys to catch passes in training camp. You know, when you have 3 quarterbacks and you're trying to go rapid fire in training camp, play after play after play with no downtime, you need guys to catch those passes. And as the Packers, you know, you watch the Packers, they have multiple wide receiver formations, you know, 4 or 5 wide receivers quite often. So they need a lot of them. Ted the Sledge pointing on the live blog, they had 9 pretty good wide receivers in camp last year. So, yeah, it is a position to look at, and one that the Packers will be adding to, if not during the draft. And, you know, I see wide receiver as the one position. You talk about the Packers going best player available. That's kind of the philosophy they have in the draft. Regardless of position, they're going to draft the best player available. Well, guess what? I think this is one year where the Packers will say, even if the best player available is a wide receiver in the first round of the NFL draft, they'll pass that up. They will not take one just because they're so stocked there. I can't imagine the Packers adding a first round wide receiver, or perhaps maybe if it really was, maybe they would try to trade down out of that pick and allow a team who does want that wide receiver to pick them up. But But anyhow, they will invariably later in the draft or in undrafted free agency sign some wide receivers. And who knows, maybe Lamarck Brown will be one of them. So we will see. Patrick on the live blog asks, will it be a breakout season for Cobb next season at wide receiver? And that is a good question there. Randall Cobb had a good rookie season, very good for a rookie, you know, obviously upgraded the kick return and the punt return positions there. And that's where his biggest impact was at. But also, you know, he's, a guy who is, on the verge of big things in the NFL. And that's why some people think Donald Driver might be out the door. How much longer can you, hold Randall Cobb to just part-time duty on offense when he might deserve to be out there a whole lot more? So, it's one of those things where the Packers have a tough choice in front of them, but it might be time for the Packers to go that way. I still think, they invite Donald Driver back on a lower contract. If he is part of their plans, I think he should be part of their plans. Not a big part. He would just be a role player from here on out. But, anyhow. So still, it's one of those things where it's possible Randall Cobb does have a breakout season. You have to imagine his role, his playing time is only going to increase after the season he had as a rookie and how much talent he does have. So, it's interesting here. We're talking about on the show earlier, and it's one of these things that the Packers are looking at ways to clear salary cap space, things like that. And talking on the live blog here about questions going back to AJ Hawk, I believe on the live blog here, John even. If you scroll up a bit, John asks John Rahor, I wonder if Hawk gets the axe partially because of his play, partially because of a salary dump, and other guys who might be, cut for the Packers because of their contract and ways the Packers can create salary cap space going forward. I personally don't think no matter what happens with AJ Hawk, he is not going to be cut this upcoming year. Yes, I realize his play is not really all that great. Not terrible, but, not in terms of what he's being paid, not up to that level. So, but I just don't think the Packers cut ways with AJ Hawk this year because they can afford him this year, especially if guys like Driver, Clifton are gone, because even at some point, if he gets passed up by, let's say, DJ Smith, who had a very good rookie season for the Packers, showed the potential that maybe he has the ability to be a starter in the NFL, okay? Let's even assume just for playing make-believe here that DJ Smith does become the starter eventually. He surpasses AJ Hawk and starts with Desmond Bishop. Well, what are you looking at after that? You're looking at, Robert Francois as a backup, a guy who's, played okay this season but is not considered an answer at inside linebacker. So if there happens to be an injury to either Smith or Bishop, you've still got Hawk to fall back upon, and that's why AJ Hawk is good enough to keep around this year. Now, maybe a year from now, if Hawk continues to regress, he still has this high salary another season, maybe then they move on. But that's my opinion. I think they keep AJ Hawk this season for 2012, this upcoming season 2012, and maybe after that, then maybe move on. So there's time yet, and they can afford AJ Hawk no matter what, And you know, there's good things about AJ Hawk. We said before, he's very well respected amongst his teammates. He was a postseason captain, an honor that's voted upon by the team. They know what he can do in the huddle. He relays the plays with the headset to the entire defense. They rely on him to get them lined up. And you know, when the defensive line is doing a good job in front of him, AJ Hawk does okay. He does a job that you can live with, that you can get by with in the NFL. So, you know, it's the Packers got to look at it going forward. But as of right now, that's the way I see it. And you know, it's, you know, people disagree with me, I'm sure. But we'll see as time goes on here. Anyhow, we're just about done here on Railbird Central for today. Our time is about up. But thank you, everybody, so much for joining us today. Thank you to Lamarck Brown, the wide receiver from Minnesota State, for joining us. And thank you, everybody, for listening to us here on Railbird Central. We'll be back on Friday having Zach Heilprin as our guest on Friday. Zach works for the radio stations WBEV, WXRO in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, but also is a Packers beat writer for ESPNMilwaukee.com and is a part-time co-host on Green and Gold Today, the Packers talk show with Jason Wilde and Bill Johnson. Once in a while, when one of them can't be available, Zach steps in. So going to talk to him on Friday, talk a little bit, maybe get his Super Bowl prediction as we get ready to wrap up the NFL season. But anyhow, thanks everybody for joining us one last time here on Railbird Central. I leave you today with a song called Ocean Billy by Umphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. We'll see everyone. Go Pack, go.